This episode is brought to you by Rocky Mountain PBS and 104.7 The Drop. Because The Drop aims to inspire people towards deeper, more meaningful connections with their community through the celebration of urban alternative music, arts, and culture. They're all about creating a unique sound that's locally rooted with global reach. From the morning mix block to new music discovery or to hear your favorite current or throwback hip-hop and urban alternative, 104.7 The Drop has something for everyone. You can listen online or via the Drop 303 app anytime, anywhere. Or if you're in the Denver area, you can catch 104.7 The Drop on air. Today on CityCast Denver. RuPaul's Drag Race could crown another Denver queen as America's next drag superstar tomorrow night.
My name is Willow Pill, and I'm an adorably twisted little doll.
We've been watching Willow Pill beat out the competition on this season of Drag Race. She's now a finalist, and if she wins, she'll be the second drag superstar ever from Denver after her mentor and friend, Evie Oddly, won in 2019. And guess what? I got to talk to Willow this week before the show's finale. Today is Thursday, April 21st, 2022. I'm Bree Davies, and this is CityCast Denver. Willow Pill, welcome to CityCast Denver.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
So I know you're based in Chicago now, but you're from Colorado and you came up in our drag scene here. Past Drag Race winner and good friend of yours, Evie Oddly, came out of our scene, as did Nina Flowers. What makes Denver's drag scene so special to you?
You know, I think what makes Denver's drag scene so special, or at least at the time that I was kind of coming up, is that there wasn't a whole lot of structure or rules. It's one of those mid-sized cities for drag. So you've got, like, you're in New York and in Chicago and you're LA, and then you also have scenes that are just so small that they, you know, barely exist. And Denver is one of those mid-sized cities where there's kind of rules, kind of not, kind of a big scene, kind of a small scene. So you can kind of fit your foot anywhere in there. There's kind of room for everyone to kind of find what their niche is. And so I think the through line with Nina and Evie and myself is that we're all kind of people that subverted the expectations on our season. And I think Denver does that fantastically.
And what do you mean by subverted the expectations?
I think Nina on her season, she came in and they're like, who is this kind of like punk bitch that, you know, is doing what was very different at the time for drag? Same thing for Evie, kind of this gangly, laughy character came in and they're all like, oh, you know, she's some drag clown. And then I came in and they're like, oh, who is this like prepubescent teen weirdo girl who doesn't know what she's doing? And all three of us ended up, you know, making it to the finals of our seasons. So, yeah, I think we've all kind of just surprised people who probably underestimated us.
Do you think that underestimation at all comes from being from Denver? Because, like, I'm thinking about what you're saying is, like, there's established deep, deep histories of drag in New York and LA. And while we do have an established scene, there's still this space, like you're saying, to sort of create something different. But do you think that there's not as, or there wasn't as much of an expectation, like, being someone from Denver?
Yeah, you know, I think at least for Nina and Evie, that's probably the case. But I will say on my season, as soon as people heard us in Denver and that I was part of the House of Oddly, I think that was maybe their first notion that they should be a little afraid. So I think maybe now, especially after the third time and the third girl making it to the finale, I think people will probably beware.
Winding through the canyon, her anticipation rose. Monarch Casino Resort Spa, the epitome of mountain chic. Her pulse raced as she sat down at a high-limit baccarat table. Hungry? She chose the Southwest fusion flavors of Bistro Mariposa before ascending to Bliss, a top-rated spa Monarch, for a signature massage treatment. She slept well in her luxurious hotel room, fulfilled by her stay. Write your own story at monarchblackhawk.com.
Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call or text 1-800-GAMBLER.
So, Willow, we found this clip of a 2016 interview that you did with a local radio station here in Colorado, KGNU, and you were still in college at CSU. And I want to play a little bit of that interview with
you. Oh, my God. Okay.
I always wanted to do drag because of RuPaul's Drag Race. I loved the show. I kind of watched it when it was in the early seasons, and then once it got to season 4 or 5, with characters like Sharon Needles and Jinx Monsoon that were kind of outside of the pageant style of drag, that's what I really connected with. And I was like, wow, I can, not only do I love this show, but I could do it. Like, this is kind of what I want to do.
Wow. I'm like, I forgot that I had done that interview. That was in like my first year of drag, I think.
Yeah, how does it feel to hear that version of you in 2016?
It's pretty amazing. I remember doing that interview, and you know, I will always say that I am a baby of Drag Race. I think some people are ashamed, or not ashamed, but you know, don't like to say that they're a product of Drag Race in some ways, because that they think that maybe takes away from their drag. But I'm like very proud to say that I, you know, part of why I'm doing drag is because of Drag Race. That was a huge goal of mine when I started my drag career. And I'm like so blessed and proud that I, you know, that has come to fruition.
Yeah, I was going to say, you said what you were going to do and you did it.
Yeah, I mean, not a lot of people can say that. So that's something I'm really, really proud of. And I still kind of can't believe. I mean, only getting to the end of the season now have I really realized that I was even on the show in the first place.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, you're a finalist. And I'm thinking about the segment I watched where Rue has you talk to your child selves. And it's very emotional and it's really beautiful. But what would you say to yourself? What would you say to Willow in college? Like, you now to her then?
I would just say, like, you are right. You know what you're doing. And, you know, just keep doing it. That's really it. I think if there's one thing about me, I really do have a lot of determination. I kind of decided when I started drag, I was like, if I'm going to do drag, I have to go balls to the wall. Like, I can't have a half-fleshed character or a half-fleshed gig. This has to be amazing. And thankfully, it's amazing enough to be what it is now.
So you kind of mentioned not even sort of realizing. I know that feeling, like not that you don't realize you're on the show now that you're a finalist, but like it's really real. And I wonder, has being on the show changed you at all?
Oh, it's changed me immensely. It's hard to, you know, it's hard to put into words how rigorous and kind of all encompassing the show is. It's very intense. I was there for nearly 2 months, and you know, you don't have any family or friends to talk to. You're on your own, and you're incredibly lonely, but you're also incredibly fulfilled with these new relationships that you're making. So it's almost like you enter this new world that you've never been in before, and you kind of have to figure out who you are without all of the resources and relationships that you're used to having. So you have to establish yourself in this way that you really have to question, like, okay, what do I think? Who am I? What do I want to do? Because you can't really feed off of what's normally going on around you, your normal habitat. So, you know, mainly I think the things that changed about me is I realized a lot of things about gender. I realized a lot of what it is that I really want out of drag. And I realized that I'm a very tired person.
I hear that. Well, so that's something else I wanted to ask you about is like there's been this conversation about trans representation being left out of the show for a long time. And this season in particular has the most trans contestants ever. And I know that this journey with drag brought you to coming out and embracing your identity as trans while you were on the show. How did that feel to do that so publicly?
You know, I'm not gonna lie, it wasn't all good. It is odd to feel like people are always in your business. Being on the show, you give up a huge aspect of privacy. But I like to sometimes lean into that and just give, you know, the full version so that people aren't left wondering or left speculating things that are incorrect about you. So that did feel good to come out about, because I had already been out to my close personal friends and family, and it felt not disingenuous, but it felt maybe incomplete to not come out to the public. And being on the show changed that a lot, because I just enjoyed being in drag so much after a huge drought of drag for so long due to COVID. And I was kind of like, why am I so happy to just be in drag every day on set? And it became apparent to me, like, oh gosh, I've got to kind of dig a little deeper into this, because this has been bugging me for a while.
Now, after season 14 completed filming, Bosco Cornbread and Willow Pill have come out as trans.
Yes!
It's the most trans-tastic season, baby.
Yes, it is. Willow, tell me about your experience.
It's been difficult. I feel like for the longest time, I just wasn't letting myself know myself at all. And this feels like the final chapter to getting to know me. Mm-hmm. And now we, like, sit here so much, like, prouder and happier, and our cheeks a lot more full.
I was gonna say, baby, she is snatched as ever, bitch. You see that face?
Can you talk more about that relationship to drag in relationship to your gender identity and experience? How did drag help you or create the space? Or what was it about this aspect of performing and you know, dressing beautifully in all different ways to have this breakthrough, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, it's different for everyone, the way that drag affects their gender. But, you know, when I was a young kid, I always thought I was trans. And then I came out as gay, and I was like, oh, no, I was just gay. And then I kind of thought I was trans again. And then I was like, oh, no, I just want to do drag. And then you kind of go through this fluctuation. And then after a while, drag wasn't enough either. And it was like, oh, why am I kind of, you know, addicted to this feeling of being in drag? And why do I feel kind of less happy when I'm out of drag? Or like I'm not my full self, or can't express myself the way I want to when I'm out of drag. And then eventually on the show became, why am I so happy when I'm in drag after I've been so, so deeply depressed looking in the mirror for the last year and a half? So that kind of fluctuation, which ended up just circling back to what I knew when I was like 5 or 6, is kind of the journey that it took to make that realization.
I'm just thinking how you talked about being sort of, you know, growing up a drag race kid and thinking about other Willows in the world who get to see you go through this. And then they almost like skip a step. They're like, oh, that's what I'm experiencing too. And it's right there in front of me, and somebody else who's embodying that experience and explaining it, how it feels, and just other people like you who may see you and say, that's what I feel.
Exactly. And the show has done that for me countless times. You know, it's done it with Jinx Monsoon, was probably one of the first ones that I really, really connected to. And, you know, how many ever, 10 years later, I was just with her performing in London like a few days ago. And it's insane how these things kind of circle back to the beginning.
So what advice would you give to a young person who wants to get into this art form?
You know, I don't always know what I would say. That is a big, big question. It just depends on what you want out of it. And maybe that's the advice I would give, is just to think about what you want out of it. You don't have to immediately know. There's always room for exploration and evolving that answer. But really, the best thing that drag has brought me is the relationships in my life, for sure. My first few years of drag, I didn't really make that many friends. I just hadn't found the people yet. And for that reason, I almost didn't continue doing drag, because I was like, well, this isn't, you know, all that fun. But once I found the right people, that I've had relationships. I mean, I would say like 90% of my friendships as of today are because of drag. And I'm so, so blessed for that. And drag above all else is something for community, I think.
Yeah,
I would just think, what do you want out of it? And go for that, honestly.
Yeah, find your people. I mean, that's what we're all looking for.
Find your people. And you don't have to want to get on Drag Race. You don't have to want to, you know, make this a career. You don't have to want anything out of it except for what you desire.
Willow Pill, thank you so much for being here. I'm so proud to know that you are from Denver, and we are just rooting for you. We're so excited.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm really, really excited. Whatever the outcome, I've been just ecstatic about this experience.
And here's what else Denverites are talking about. Changes might be coming to a trash can near you. And if you live in Denver, you might have to start paying for your trash to be collected. Earlier this week, city officials unveiled a new plan to hopefully make us better at recycling and composting, because we've lagged far behind national averages for years. According to Colorado Newsline, the plan includes possible new recycling requirements for commercial and apartment communities, and a potential ban on throwing cardboard into the trash as opposed to into the recycling bin. But there's a lot of interesting stuff in this new plan, so we'll be digging in for sure. And finally, I've got an update for you on a story we brought you last week about 1800 South Broadway, the spot that may be Denver's next weed lounge, if the owner can convince his skeptical neighbors. It's a voicemail from a listener who just moved into the neighborhood.
Hi, my name's Heather. I just moved to Platt Park in December of this past year, and I listened to all the info on 1800 South Broadway, and I had actually had the guy come to my house opposing this with the petition. And at first, when he said they were going to put a weed lounge there, I was like, sweet, weed lounge in the neighborhood, great. And then he relayed all the information about the hookah lounge, and I thought, okay, I'll find that. I don't want anybody shooting in my neighborhood. But I do think he misrepresented it as the exact same owner. So I wish I hadn't signed that. I'd like to know how I could get my name off of that. I'm actually going to be out of town in May, so I can't attend the hearing. But, you know, I was also listening to this lady talk about property values, and I did wonder why the people who sold us the house sold. I don't know if it had anything to do with that, because we're about 3 to 4 blocks up. We're at the 1500 block and one block in. But I don't think it's going to tank neighborhood values in Platt Park. I think it's going to be fine. So anyway, I just found the whole thing very fascinating and interesting, and I'm excited to find out what happens. And thank you guys for the info, because it was really in-depth and I enjoyed the episode.
That's all for today here on CityCast Denver. If you enjoyed the show, why not take a minute to tell a friend about us, rate the show wherever you get your podcasts, and subscribe to our morning newsletter at denver.citycast.fm. We'll be back tomorrow morning with more news from around the city. Bye! So we'll be digging through the proverbial garbage and get back to you.